Warm greetings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. As you have heard, my name is Ambele Moipopo. I serve as a director of Christian education in the Konde Diocese in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Tanzania. I married to Nsume and we have 4 children. They range from 10 to 2 years. While I'm in the United States, my family is back in Tanzania. The topic which we are going to talk to this time is Tanzanian EROCT gifts to the EROCA. I would like to tell you one, if not two, of the gifts of God entrusted us in Tanzania, which I hope it will be helpful to the ELCA. I don't know where to begin and where to end since I have a lot of stories. So I would like to share with you how, in short, how the lifestyle of people in Tanzania. Tanzania depends on farming. No one goes to farm individually. One would invite friends, neighbors to farm. After farming, goats are fed generously by a person whose farm they have worked. It is impossible for one to whom invitation to farm has been extended to refuse. This kind of duty is done reciprocally, means yes, you've got. Keeping cattle is also a primary enterprise in Tanzania. Young children of appropriate age, 7 to 11 years, graze their parents' cattle together. If a person has cattle but has no a child of appropriate age to take care cattle, children of the village would assist that person without any payment. Fishing and hunting was also done communally together. Since the Christians of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Tanzania are part and parcel of this society, they have the same kind of life. The elements of the relationship is seen even in the church. The relationship which exists in the traditional society is also seen in the church. People are still, they have mutual relationship. This relationship helps a lot for mission and evangelism. As you know, the most and foremost goal of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Tanzania is mission and evangelism. This concept of mission and evangelism does not remain as a theory, but it is practiced. In reality, Christians are serving as evangelists and missionaries in their respective congregations. All ministries of the church except officiating marriages and administering sacraments, are done by all Christians in collaboration with pastors. This togetherness, this priesthood of all believers, has brought about good result in the church, and people are joining the church. Mission work is done as follows. First of all, individually. Every Christian is responsible to share the gospel to people in her or his family. If there is a person in your family who is not a Christian, you have to share with that person how Christianity is all about. After that, every Christian is responsible to go as far as to her or his neighbors, relatives, and to the whole community to tell about Jesus. There is no problem for one or to hesitate to visit someone else for sharing the good news, because visiting one another is part and parcel of our life. So we normally go and visit to say hello, and when you say hello, you say, you know about Jesus? Jesus loved the world, and in Jesus we find something which is good. So you don't go there to say what is about life. You share also about the good news of Jesus Christ. So the relationship we have helps us to evangelize. Communally, togetherness, the way evangelism is done in groups. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in Tanzania has several departments in which all activities of the church move. Some of those are women groups, youth group, music, Christian education, and mission and evangelism. The women group is the most active group in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Tanzania. Yes, it does a very wonderful duty in the church. And if any pastor forget this group, we'll end with, I can say, mercy. Because, yeah, everything will mess up. Because this is the most active group in the church, in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Tanzania. I will tell how this group does in the Konde Diocese, in the diocese I come from. This will serve as a model for the whole dioceses in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Tanzania. Women group in the Konde Diocese meet twice a week in the church. This is Wednesdays and Fridays, morning hours. In all congregations in the Konde Diocese, you see this group meeting in the church on those days. So when you go in every church in Konde Diocese, Wednesdays and Fridays, morning hours, starting at 8, you see this group meeting in the church. Their activity, some of their activities are as follows. They normally have Bible study. They appoint someone to read the text, and they will discuss how everyone has reflected upon that text. They sometimes invite some people from outside to give them a Bible study. And the pastors also were very interested to this group. They they participate to read some of the Bible study during that time. I liked this group. I participated, I can say, most of the time when I was at the church. When I was outside is when I was not there. Sometimes I participated to listen from what women group are discussing. And when you are there is when you encourage them so much. So they sometimes they solve social issues in the church. For instance, if there is one couple which is about to end with divorce, women group discuss about the issue. So they send some women who are talented how to speak to go to that couple and to sit down with them and discuss about the issue. And sometimes they come with a very good report, I can say. Sometimes they restore peace among that people. So instead of divorce, mutual relationship can be retained in that homes. So these women, that is why I say it does a very wonderful duty in the church. They help those who are in need. For instance, if someone, especially for those who are widow, or those who are, their homes are not in good condition, or those who are hungry, who are without food, they can gather food and send to those people. Although they don't have a very big amount of food, but it makes sense that this women group value other people's life. They do with mission outreach too. The way they do is this. They do mission outreach to both non-Christians and to Christians who are not active in the church. The way they do, they organize as a group. They can organize in two or three in groups. So they announce that we are coming to do mission work at a certain village. And those people whom announcement has been extended, they will accept without any problem, because they say, okay, let them come at that time. So what they do, they divide themselves that, okay, another group will start from that angle, coming this way, to that, and another group from that angle to this, and we are going to meet together to see, to report what is the result of the work. So they go door to door telling about Jesus Christ to non-Christians. And they talk very politely. The women are very talented, I can say. They talk very, very politely to those people, and we normally receive a good result from their work. And after that, they bring the names to the congregation pastor, and the congregation pastor can make a timetable how to visit those people and to start to give them Christian education for 1 year or 2 years. After that, they are being baptized. They also, this is for non-Christian, they also visit those Christians who are not active. Perhaps for certain things, they find that they can't come to the church anymore. So what they do, I have told you that they have Bible study into the church. Now they recognize that there is one member who is not coming to the church. Instead of having Bible study in the church, they say, okay, let us go and have Bible study in the homes of that person who is not active. So they go there and they tell her or him that we don't see you. No, they don't say we don't see you in the church. They say we would like to come to your home and have a Bible study together with you. And they go there and they assign someone to read the scripture and they share together in that home. At last, the leader of that group will say, you know, we have come to you, we don't see you in the church, we are wondering that perhaps something wrong has happened to you, that's why we have come to you. We don't, they will ask, do you have something to share with us which makes you not come into the church? If you don't have, we don't like you to answer us now. So this is what has brought us to come into the church. So if that person is about to give them answer to the question, or he will remain silent, but he or she will be the first person to come into the church the following Sunday because of the what they have. So this is how this group does in our church. And by doing this, oh, it helps a lot. And our villages, the way we build our districts. For instance, this is a congregation, the whole congregation. Now a congregation can have 1 point, perhaps here is the center of the congregation where there is pastor. Sometimes we don't have pastors, just evangelists, because we have inadequacy of pastors in our church. So here is 1 point of worship, here 1 point of worship, 1 point of worship, and here is where the center of the congregation. Now, we have leaders in the church, like elders, diaconies. So here is 1 point of worship. The way we elect our church elders, we make sure that this angle, in this part of that area, there is church elder. In this area there is church elder. In this area there is church elder. So we don't elect elders in one area or from this area so that they can lead the whole part because of transportation or things like that. So this area, this church elder is the in charge of this area. So if this church elder does not see people of he or her side coming to the church, he will note down their names, and he will share with the groups that in my area, so and so and so, he or she is not coming to the church. What we are going to do? Let us help. So they discuss together, and started to visit those people by doing that. So those people are not coming to the church, are well known, they know them, and they start doing that. And it helps us a lot. It helps us a lot to gather those folks who are not active in the church.
How big an area is that? Like square miles or
whatever? It depends congregations to congregations. The congregations I served as a pastor, two congregations, they were about 10 to 15 miles away. Some congregation more than that. Yes, and we normally walk on foot in order to visit these areas. Most of the duty I have been doing doing that. So by doing that, it helps us a lot because of this problem.
Hi, Popo, you told us that the evangelism methods are working well. How fast is your church growing?
Our church is facing a very wonderful growth. In 1976 is when the Konde Diocese started. We were about, not 78, we were about 15 members in our diocese. Now we are about 60,000 members. So it was in 1976 we were 15, and now we are about 60 members in our church. In 60,000. So you see, it was in 1978. We were 15. Now in 1993, we are.
What about the ELCT as a whole?
The ELCT is 1.5 million.
On top of this, they have more people that can read than we do in America, I think. I think they should be missionaries that come back to America and be missionaries in the United States.
So this is how the church is. is very much growing, and the more people are coming to the church, the more we face the inadequacy of ministers who are, yes, that is the major problem. That is why we incorporate even the lay people to preach in our church. For instance, in my diocese we have 50 pastors. Members are 60,000, and we have 46 congregations, and we have 378 points of worship. Now if you divide this points to this for 50 pastors, you find each pastor could preach every Sunday in about 3 to 7 points each. So the only solution we do is that the lay people and evangelists are allowed to preach. This is how the church goes.
Maybe that's how the church grows too.
Yeah.
Where is the town in? It'd be nice if you drew a map of Tanzania and showed where your villages are, or your diocese is. What town are you close to?
I'm close to.
There's a map over there. It's small.
No, it doesn't tell you any. What map are you showing? The map of the world? No.
You can see Tanzania there.
Okay, I have a map here.
There we go.
You want me to hold it for you?
Thank you. Although it is small. East Africa shows. Tanzania. Here is Lake Nyasa, Lake Tanganyika, Lake Victoria. This is Indian Ocean. Here is Dar es Salaam, our capital. And my city is here, Mbeya. Our head office of ELCC is here in Arusha, in the northern part of our country. Now we have, so far we have 19 synods and dioceses in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Tanzania. This part, we received how many? 7 different mission societies for the first time. And this mission society, they left their traditions in our church. In the northern part, we received the trade code here. In the southern part, the so-called Berlin One Mission Society from Germany. In Dar es Salaam, they received Berlin Three Mission Society. In Kilimanjaro, Moshi and Arusha, they received the so-called Leipzig Mission Society.
He's mentioning three differences. Right.
What were the first two?
Just Berlin One and Berlin Three.
Berlin One and Berlin Three.
They're just different societies from Germany.
From Germany.
From the Evangelical Lutheran Church.
Yes. Yes.
And then Leipzig, that's East Germany.
Yeah. Yeah, Leipzig, yes. And Leipzig, you know, there were differences. The Leipzig missionaries, they are very strict. They send their missionaries, the theologians, and they did with the indigenization right from the beginning. Here in Kilimanjaro, Christianity is very, very powerful. And I can say, when was that? When 85% of the population were Christian in that area. The reason that the missionaries who were working over there, they were theologians, they were focusing the future, they made the leaders of the tradition villages to be the leaders of the church, mm-hmm. no matter they are Christians or not.
Mm-hmm.
You see the plan?
Mm-hmm.
Now, those leaders, they were convincing their people that, oh, these missionaries are good people. You listen whatever they tell to you. So, in the beginning, and people were joining the church. While in the southern part of Tanzania, we received a missionary from first Berlin One Mission Society. When the second, first and second World War burst out, the German were defeated. The German were to leave the country. We were assisted with Mission Society from Sweden and Finland, and they were very strict that they didn't like to incorporate some of the traditions in the church. They built the so-called mission village. The newcomer, the new converts were isolated from the society. They built the village, the so-called mission village. I was brought in that type of, because my parents were Christians. So now I try to think, what was that? Because I didn't know exactly really what was going on in our tradition. The only thing which I participated in that my grandfather was a chief. My father was my grandfather had three wives. He wanted to become a Christian, but he was not allowed because he was a polygamist. My father was the first child from the first wife of my grandmother, so my grandfather. So he deserved to be the chief after my grandmother, but he became a Christian. Now my grandfather used to call me to say, okay, you send Ambele to me and stay. So when I go to my grandfather, stay with him, is when now I saw how African tradition religion was going on. Yes, he called, even he showed me how to worship when I was young. I remember when I was, 7 years old. I remember some of the elements, although I can't recall everything. But my father was reluctant to send me to my grandmother because he, you know, but he didn't, because our families are so close. So here in the southern part, we received the so-called some sort of charismatic way of worshiping or something like that. Don't do this and do this. While in here, they did organization or contextualization right from the beginning. But we thank you also that kind of tradition which was existing here, because it helps us a lot to remain faithful in the church. In the south, central part of Tanzania, there was a missionary society from the United States, the Augustana Mission Society, and it was the only Lutheran mission society which played a great role in Tanzania during the First and Second World War, because the Germans were to leave the country, and the Augustana, Tanga, Arusha, and ever to assist the church. Thank you so much. So I was born and raised just in the shore of Lake Nyasa. Thank you so much.
Because they taught them to read. There are more. The missionaries, taught them to read. 85% literacy in Tanzania. You go anywhere in Tanzania or in Kenya, everybody, no matter if you're wearing a suit or wearing normal regalia, they're carrying a book. Everyone's carrying books. Everyone reads. It's wonderful. I'm a teacher, and I just scream when I come home. You know, I see people reading at Holden, but you don't see people carrying books, you know, when they go to work, for their coffee hour and lunch hours. Anyway, they share his time how to read.
And youth group also meet twice a week, on Wednesdays and Friday. The same days, a women group meet, but during afternoon hours. They have also Bible study, they sing, they have praise, some prayer which they can show someone when they visit. Sometimes they tend not to come into the church, but pastors, we try to find means to come into the church. I worked with this group, and I liked also this group. The way I did on my side to gather this group, and they were coming to the church, so many, I discovered that these youth are very fond of soccer. And soccer, and for netball. What I did, I bought equip facilities for soccer, a ball and netball, and I said, okay, you come here, and we are going to organize our team, the team for the church. They said, ah, great, pastor. So they started to join the church, because there is a ball, they can play and do things like this. So before we go to pray, before we go to practice to practice to play soccer, I had with them Bible study. I said, before we go there, Bible study first. So it is when they gather together and the chance to have the word of God. And they also like to jive, some jiving in the so I say, why not we do this? So what I was doing is to just to some pastors, even in other churches, is to allow them in some of the music to move when they sing, and they feel go. Sometimes when the congregation is singing a song, the choir group can sing and dancing while the congregation is singing while sitting down. So it is good. For instance, for Lord's Prayer, we have Lord's Prayer in this book, hymn book, some pieces of African songs. So our Lord's Prayer is put in a very good harmony. So in some churches, youth can dance while the congregation sing Lord's Prayer. So it is very attractive when, especially they are in a group of 40, 30 youths, and they dance together and they show some signs like this. So it is working. And some people come into the church just to see how the choir is doing. And by doing that, the message which is being preached to them, it makes sense to them. So they like to join things. For instance, there is a Lord's Prayer, the way we see. I'm going to dance here the way the youth is dance. The Baba yetu liye mbinguni, twakuomba e Baba Mungu, tupelehe ma ya kimbingu, tuwe watu wa Mungu wa utukufu. Twakuomba. So when now there are many, is when you see the art is going on. It is very attractive. And it doesn't bring chaos in the church, because they do in a very harmonized way, and it is very wonderful, I can say. It is just like we sing, but you see something is going in front of. Mm-hmm. Yes. They do also mission outreach. Currently, the youth group has choir competition. Their competition aims at helping people to be aware of the AIDS disease. So their songs has a message how one could be able to avoid AIDS, how one could assist other people telling how to avoid AIDS, how one should take care of those who are victim to AIDS in their families and relatives. So three youth congregations or four, or they can gather at one place competing as choir. So the winning choir is going to be given a prize, a token. So by doing this, people can hear the message how they should avoid to this disease. Let me end here and take these few minutes if you have questions.
The choirs too, that's really important, isn't it? A lot of singing, and the gospel message can come across through the music.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It is possible in one service to have two or three choirs. They sing in turn. Yes.
Sometimes I wish that we had some more, just the basic Bible story set to music and things like that, or the catechism, you know, set to music. Mm-hmm. Kids would, someone's done a rap catechism, but
yeah.
It's...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just came back from the Western States Youth Convention last week, and the spirit of and power of the kids dancing and singing the songs of Christ were just incredible. They were so happy to be in an area where everyone was singing the same thing, and they were feeling the same thing, and they would come down from the bleachers and dance on the floor. It was a really powerful moment for them, as well as for any adult that was there.
And they go home to their congregation.
Exactly, with this enthusiasm and this feeling that we can do it for Christ. It's just amazing. Just amazing.
Talk about the Africanization of theology in
okay.
the church now, because initially the missionaries, as you said, were very strict, and they made mission villages, and therefore, and they held customs away,
mm-hmm.
and you had to learn it almost by chance from your grandfather. What's happening now to Africanize the church?
Now, we pastors and the African theologians, I can say they are in a very situation which young people, they raise new questions. Those who have acquired, who have got high education in universities and high schools, they raise new questions in regard to Christianity, which so far we don't have new answers. We still have old answers which were existing, which don't meet with their questions. So nowadays, theologians in Africa, they discuss about having the so-called African theology. The need of African theology is that they think that the theology which was used to plant Christianity in Africa was the theology which was produced in Western countries, in Germany and United States, elsewhere where we received mission work. Now they say that it was taken for granted that every theology can be applicable in the whole world. They took for granted that there is a universal theology. But nowadays they discuss that every theology is local. Every theology has to answer the needs of the people of a particular area, of a particular culture. So the theology which was produced in Western countries was to answer the needs, was to meet the needs of the Western people according to their culture. Now when Christianity was planted in Africa through the theology produced in Western country, Christianity didn't meet the needs of the people. That is why we ask, why a person, when he is a Christian, a very committed Christian, and when he is in crisis, sometimes he go back to his or her former religion. We ask such a question, because, for instance, you see a very committed Christian. Now, perhaps some of her or his children are dying because we don't have good hospitals. Diseases are plenty in Africa, I can say. Malaria is a disease which kills a lot of children under 5 years. Now, if children are dying in his or her family, the relatives who are not Christian will come and visit him or her. Say, you know, you didn't do this. You pretend like you are a Christian. Okay, continue doing that. But the only thing which you can survive, do some customs and ritual according to our tradition, and you'll find relief. Now, because a person is in, he or she is in crisis, it is easy to go back to that, to do some customs or some kind of that, so that he can or she can become better from the situation she's or he is in. So now we ask, why these things? Now theologians are saying, so far, we pastors and theologians, we don't know for sure what is happening in African traditional religion. We don't know for sure the needs of the people, what really they need. We just say you come as a Christian, you come, and we just say we don't know exactly what is happening, what is the needs of the people. Now they say that let us have the so-called African theology. The one thing we are going to do is to study the culture of the people and find some of elements in that culture to use for evangelism. Yes. But the only thing which we are aware is to be is not the message of the gospel to be there. Now other people are saying, are we going to avoid syncretism when we incorporate with Christianity and African tradition and the culture of Africa? Because African tradition and religion is part of the African culture. So they think that by doing this, we are going to be to produce something new, syncretism. But when I think syncretism is inevitable everywhere. When we think about a Christmas tree, yeah. It is not a biblical by origin. No.
Tradition.
Tradition, yes. Even the Christmas festival, yes. So, by doing this, we hope that we don't know when it will happen. And it helps also because when we received the gospel, the whole question of polygamy. Polygamy in African context is not something, a lustful thing, which a person is wanted because he wanted to have many wives or what, but it was also, it carried with status or wealth or to have more children, or security for women, something like that. So when you say you divorce some of your wives in order to become a Christian, young ones nowadays raise question, okay, you allow this person to become a Christian by encouraging him to divorce his wife. Does the Bible in favor of divorce? They raise question like this. And another question is that a person who is a polygamist, he was not allowed to become a Christian, while all his wives were allowed to become a Christian. Now they ask question, the only wife who deserved to be a Christian was the first wife, because the rest wives were the people who made a person to become a polygamist. So they were not supposed to become a Christian if we want to. This is their discussion, you see.
So that means Abraham in the Old Testament could not have been a Christian, right?
Yeah.
Abraham and Sarah, our parents,
they refer to that.
That's another question.
So far, we don't have new answers to that question.
It's a good question to ask.
You see?
What also happens is when the question of divorce comes up, and is said not to be allowed, the wives that are part of the greater group were probably married in order to give them security, to give them a name, and to give them a status in the village.
Yes.
And when that isn't allowed, it destroys the social fibers of that community and tends to destroy it rather than make it stronger.
By... You mean the whole question of polygamy?
Well, polygamy or divorce or some of the very strict, narrow-minded Christian ways integrated into the African tradition.
Yes, yes.
Tend to destroy the African tradition rather than to make it stronger.
Yes, yes, yes.
And destroys lives and community that way.
Yes. But some of people nowadays, they blame Christianity that you have brought something new in our trade. Some people can claim that Christianity is a very foreign religion, a very Aryan religion, is a Western religion. But at that point we say, no, Christianity is a religion for the whole world. And if you discuss geographically, we can say Christianity is a religion for African people, because when Jesus Christ was born, he got in his infant, he got refuge in Egypt, where is Africa, in Africa. The first, when he was about to die, he was assisted by Simon, who was from Africa. The first theological seminary was in Alexandria, which is in Africa. The whole question, if you follow exactly the history of the church, the two natures of Jesus Christ, he was man, he was God. The Trinity, the whole question of Trinity was discussed in North Africa, because it was part of the Roman Empire in Carthage. Tertullian origin, these are folks from North Africa. And the Ethiopia received Christianity, I think in the third or fourth century. So we say Christianity is really African religion. We can't say it is a religion from Western country. Christianity was in Africa before it went to Europe, not to mention the United States, I can say.
Would you say something, talk a little bit about the situation now with Islam too, because as I understand it, Islam is quite a threat to some of the Christians, and to the point sometimes of violence. And I wonder, when you talk earlier about polygamy too, that's allowed in Islam, right?
Yes.
So maybe it becomes more attractive for people to go to Islam.
Yes. Islam is also a threat to the church, because the way I see Islam is aiming at making the whole continent of Africa as an Islamic continent. This is the target of the. They have succeeded to make the northern part of it, some of the country, to be like Libya, Sudan, yes. But in Tanzania, the issue is somehow different. In Tanzania, the place we have Islam is in the eastern part of Tanzania, and in the central area, and in some south area, in the south area of Tanzania. In the central area of Tanzania, it used to be a route for slaves. The Arabs did it with a slave from Zanzibar to Kigoma, which is in the western part. So in that area, you see the Muslims. But in the rest, for instance, in the Konde Diocese where I come from, there are some Muslims, but they are not very strong. That is why even in our primary schools, it is we Christians who run religious studies. I have no problem in my department to deal with Christianity, to deal with Muslims in my area. While in Islam, when religious education period appear, the Muslim can go in their class while the Christian go to. But in Tanzania, it was in 46% of the population are Christians. I don't know exactly the Muslims, they are somehow 30 something, and the rest are African tradition, the region. We used to cooperate together with the Muslims, but very recently the situation has changed. It was last Easter, the Muslims wanted to kill the Christian in the capital of Dar es Salaam. First of all, they smashed all butchers for pork, the meat of where the meat of pigs is sold. Mm-hmm. They smashed all in the capital of Dar es Salaam, claiming that Tanzania is an Islamic country. Why you sell these stuffs in this country? They went further as to put poison in breweries. Few days prior to the Easter festival, they know that Christian, since Easter is approaching, many Christians will buy beers in our factory. So when they buy, are the people who are going to die? So the scandal was discovered, and those people who did this thing were arrested, and the Minister of Home Affairs promised the people that he is going to retain peace which was existing in Tanzania. You know, since we got independent in 1961, we faced no civil war in Tanzania, as this is the typical phenomenon in most of the African countries. But our former president did a very wonderful job. He was a Christian, Roman Catholic by denomination. He managed to unite with Tanzania. But nowadays, this the president is a Muslim. No. He is not doing so good. That is why even the Meru issue in the northern part of Tanzania existed for a long time, because he kept silent. I don't know. In my opinion, I think he was saying, because they are the Christians who are fighting, let them continue.
Their Lutherans were fighting each other up in this area.
So, but I thank you, the bishop team, the bishops in all the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Tanzania went to the president and meet with him, and they said, we fail to understand you. These things going on, you kept silent. And the statement what he made, he said, okay, now you go to the court and send this issue. Now one of the bishop, it is one of the bishop, he said, okay, if that is the case, we are going to whom we are going to send to the court. The only thing I know, it is you, president, because you are the only one who allowed. So we are, tell us if you are the person whom we are going to send to the court. So I can say they are very much aware of this issue, especially for the Islam war. And the church over there is very, very strong, I can say. This is the least situation of the Muslims and the Christians.
Do you think that is it going to be a serious situation for the church in the future, or do you think it's going to improve? Can you tell?
We have a very understanding about unity in Tanzania, and we don't expect any chaos in our country. Nowadays, there is another thing. We used to have one leading party in our country. Now we have introduced multipartyism, having more than one party. Mm. Our leaders are under fire because they receive a very bad, offensive, abusive language from the people. They, these readers are not doing good. They are corrupt people. This language, they did it, they used not to, to have this kind of language. But now, in magazine, they are writing everything. New magazine has occurred to accuse the...
Democracy, you said.
Yeah. So, democracies, everyone is able to speak. So, I don't know what exactly what will happen, but we understand so much our mutual relationship. And I don't know what will happen on the side of the Muslims, because they are trying their best to evangelize their religion. When the president became into power, the Muslims received a lot of money from Arabic countries. Mosques were growing as like mushrooms in the cities. A very big mosque, but there are not so many people who go to worship.